I think when we, I think we're going to get back on eventually here on proving your position, and we're going to go over the rapture and all these things. But this evening, I'd like to go to the little book of Ruth, all the way back in the Old Testament, the little book of Ruth. And we're going to take a look at Ruth, and we're going to cover the whole book in one evening. And the only reason I'm doing this is to point out the foundation of the book. That way, if you read it for yourself, you'll understand what the book of Ruth is all about. In our Sunday mornings, we've been doing a little study on the Redeemer. Well, the book of Ruth is a good indication of the Redeemer. As we've been studying the book of Ecclesiastes, so we're going to take a look at the book of Ruth, which is sort of goes into a little bit about the same thing in the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to look at some types in the little book of Ruth. Probably take a couple of Wednesdays to do that, and then probably, I don't know, I'm going to leave it up to you guys, but probably in January we're going to cancel Wednesday night for a while, because I don't like coming out in this lousy weather. But anyway, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, the little book of Ruth. It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And let's see here. And they took themselves wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the women were bereft of her two sons and her husband, the woman. There was a famine in the land. So let's take a look at the first type. This is a type of a Christian that just plain didn't trust God. They should have stayed where they were and trusted God to provide their needs. Instead, they walked away from God into Moab. Of course, you know that Moab was one of the ancestral sons of Lot, one of the sons he had with one of his daughters. And God, being a righteous God, gave Lot and his children the land of Ar for their property. Being a righteous God, he didn't have to do that, but he did. So they left their God and went to dwell in the land of Moab. They did two things. They went and they stayed. And that's what happens when a Christian backslides and they leave God, go into the land of Moab. The first thing they do is look, and then they stay. She left her God behind, Naomi did. Lost all of her blessings, lost her family, and finally she went back to God that she shouldn't have left in the first place. When things get hard and when things get tough, it's easy to walk away from God, isn't it? I have a family, as a matter of fact, Carl just did a funeral service for one of my family members, my cousin. And his parents, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. His parents never took the kids to church. And every one of the kids is, well, they're a hard bunch. But the funeral that Carl just did, and Carl actually tried to preach this guy into heaven, which I thought was wrong. The rest of the message was pretty good. But he tried to preach this guy into heaven. I would never do that. I think you're dishonor God when you do that. But anyway, the father told me one time that he used to teach Sunday school in a Methodist church years But he let his kids go. And if he really taught Sunday school, and if he was really saved, which I really doubt, don't you think he would have considered his salvation and told his children how to be saved? Never did. Every one of them is alcohol and drugs is one of their biggest problems. You never see them in church, even though they asked me to do all their funerals and all their weddings and all the other crap. But you never see them in church. And if he really was a Christian, he's a perfect example of a Christian that walked away from God. Matter of fact, his mother, my aunt, said, well, we were going to church when the kids were young and everything went bad for us. And we said, if that's the way God is, we don't want to have anything to do with him. That was her statement. Sort of like Naomi. Things went bad, a little bit of famine, you know. I don't get everything I want. I'm going to walk away from God, and I'll go to the Moabites. And that's exactly what they did. They're a perfect example of Naomi. And she came to church a couple of times. I don't care if they ever come back. Doesn't matter to me. None. I don't. They're my family, I know, but my mother's angry with me because I called them a bunch of mushheads. But that's the breaks. I can't help it. They're a bunch of mushheads. So they walked away from God. When they did, she lost her husband and her two sons. You cannot walk away from God and enjoy any blessings. It just doesn't work. No matter how hard things get, no matter how hard times get, blame God for all my troubles. Dear God, I don't need you. You did this to me. It's your fault. I'll never try to serve you. So on and so on and so on. Well, we all have hard times when we start walking away from God because of it. He's not to blame. We are. So Naomi lost everything. Then she arose in verse 6 with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. Shouldn't have been there in the first place. Should have stayed where she was. God would have fed her and her family. For she heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them meat. Isn't that something? If they'd have stayed, the Lord would have visited them and gave them meat. Instead, they left, and she lost everything. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. But then I want you to look at another verse here, if you will, on down in verse, let's see here. Find the right verse I'm looking for. Oh, here we go. Verse 15. And she said, Naomi did, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, Ruth, and unto her gods, return thou after thy sister-in-law. In other words, Naomi is saying, go back to your gods. Isn't that sad? Naomi, if you really believed in your God, why in the world would you tell somebody to go back to their false god? Isn't that foolish? Now, I don't know what kind of a Christian Naomi was to begin with, but when we walk away from God, it sure gives us some strange, strange attitude, doesn't it? In verse 8, return to your mother's house, the Lord deal kindly with you. And then she tells them to go back to their own gods. Well, how in the world can you expect the Lord to deal kindly with you when you're telling somebody to go back to their gods? It's pretty foolish. Verse 9, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people.
Pastor Dan, how do you walk away from God? I thought you couldn't lose your faith.
You can't walk away from God. You can turn your back on God, but you can walk away from let's put it this way. If you walk away from serving God, trusting God, keeping your faith in God, then you walk away from the blessings that God has to offer. Let's put it that way.
So you still lose your faith, or you can't?
What's that?
So does that mean you lose your faith?
No, you can't lose. Well, you can lose your faith, yeah. You can lose your faith. You can.
James chapter 2.
Huh?
James chapter 2.
Yeah, you can lose your faith. But hold your place right there. Go over, if you will, to the book of Timothy over here. You can lose your faith.
If you're not serving, nobody knows you have any faith.
I'm glad you brought that up. All the way back here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, okay? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, you can lose your faith. You can lose your faith. I've seen people do it. As a matter of fact, my aunt that I just mentioned was a good example. I don't know how much faith she had. I don't know if she was saved. I don't know if she had that kind of faith or not. But they were going to church, and then when things didn't go very good for them, and they didn't go to church anymore, blamed God for the problems, and things went better for us. And that's a funny thing that she would make that statement, because things are going better for us now that we don't go to church anymore. And she just lost two of her sons. She just lost two of them. You telling me things are going better for you? I don't think so. Anyhow, verse 11, chapter 2, 2 Timothy. What's that?
Not going very good for the two that died, huh?
No. No, not very. And I doubt very much if they were saved. I know the one funeral I did one of their funerals, and I didn't preach the boy into heaven. I didn't know if that's where he was. And I talked to him about it, and I believe he was saved. But he didn't get saved until I talked to him about it just before he died. And even then, I'm not sure 100% he was saved, because people will always tell you what they think you want to hear. But I certainly didn't preach him into heaven. I think that's a dishonor to God. But anyway, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And look at the rest of that verse. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And if we, Christians, believe not, yet he abideth faithful. I can go all the way back to the point of unbelief. I can be saved by faith in Christ and go all the way back to the point of, I don't believe that anymore. And as soon as I walk away from serving God, like Naomi did and like Solomon did, and backslide, then I go all the way to the point of unbelief. But it also says, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. In other words, when we put our faith in him, we are saved, and then I can start serving him, and when things go bad, you know, and I get all bent out of shape and blame God for all my problems, I can go all the way back and say, and what happens is when things start going bad, the more I walk away and the more I stop, the worse things are going to get. And the worse things get, the less I'm going to believe. But once I'm saved, he abideth faithful. He saved me. He cannot deny himself. You cannot lose your salvation. If you did, God would be one big hypocrite, wouldn't he? But he's not.
Lonely too.
Huh?
He'd be awfully lonely for eternity.
Yeah, wouldn't he though? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, back to Ruth here, if you will. Verse 11, Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will ye go with me? That was the wrong question. She should have said, let us go to my God. Instead, why go with me to my God? Pretty foolish. And turn again, my daughters, verse 12, go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye refrain or stay for them from having, or refrain from being married? That's what it means. Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. In other words, she was chastened. Her husband was really chastened. He was killed. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and etc., etc. In verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or turn away from following thee. For whence thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. She had a goal. She was determined. And in verse 17, she was committed. She had heard about Naomi's God somehow or other, and that's what she wanted. Doesn't happen very often, does it? Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, aught but death part thee and me. So she was determined to go, and she went.
Didn't seem like Naomi had a lot to offer, but she's
no, she didn't. Yeah, no, Naomi didn't. And, of course, that's what happens when you backslide and you get into a backslidden condition, blame God for your problems. You know, that's what Naomi did. See what God has done to me? He dealt this. No, you asked for it. You should have stayed where you were, trusted him, and you and your husband both fouled up. So anyway, by the way, Moab, you know who Moab was, of course. He was Lot's. The Moabites were a pretty rotten, lousy, despicable bunch of people. Verse 21, all the way down to verse 21, if you will, verse 20, brethren. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. It was her own fault. It was your fault. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty again. Let me ask you a question. Is she telling the truth here? Why did they leave the land if they were full? That's pretty foolish, isn't it? There was a famine in the land, and they walked away. They left. They ran. You didn't run off. You didn't go out full. You left empty, and you came back empty. And the Lord brought me home empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? And the last part, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. Yes, he did. You got it coming. So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. No more famine for those who stayed. Isn't that something? You know what gets me is Christians who have the slightest little problem come along, and the first thing they want to do is blame God and run away. It's pretty sad.
So did she give up her land to go somewhere else?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. They did. Yeah. But, of course, if you go back to Jewish tradition, the land always comes back.
Yeah, and Jubilee. Jubilee.
Yeah. But in this case, they got the land, but it was a little different. So let's go down to chapter 2, and I'm going to finish this up before we get done here. And Naomi had a kinsman in chapter 2, verse 1, of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So he was still a family member of her husband, and his name was Boaz, which meant, just as Vince said, that the land that she walked away from still belonged to her. Although at this time, she didn't really own it, but
it's
it
like
was hers, if you understand the Hebrew and the way God had set it up. Anyway, and Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto him, let me now go to the field and glean ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said, go, my daughter. And behold, Boaz came in verse 4 from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, Lord be with you. And verse 5, then said who was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? He seen this woman working. She was not a Jew. Apparently he probably realized that. But she was willing to work for nothing in hopes that Boaz would look kindly upon her. Let's see now. We want to skip some verses because I want to cover all this. Let not thine eyes, in verse 9, let not thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art thirsty, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. In those times and in those days, tradition was that the heathens didn't drink with the Jews. But he said, you go ahead and drink with all the people. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a foreigner, a stranger? Then on down, if you will, to verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That's probably one of the most important verses in the whole book. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You know something? Naomi and her husband should have done that. One thing that Naomi did when she came back to the Lord, she brought a sinner with her. And for those who backslide and leave serving the Lord, what they really ought to do is bring somebody back with them. So anyway, she had integrity, Ruth did. And the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You know, it reminds me of the parable of the sowers. It doesn't matter how much you do for the Lord or how much he rewards you. The point is, it ought to be our attitude. Whenever we serve the Lord, it ought to be our attitude. Not expecting much, but knowing that the Lord will reward us, bless us, and protect us if we just serve him by faith. He will always do that. Chapter 4, go all the way over there if you will, and then we'll close with this here. But I'm trying to cover the whole book of Ruth because I want you to get the just foundation. Then when you read it yourself, when you get time to do that, you'll understand what Ruth is all about. In verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spoke came by unto him. He said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside. And he took men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, who has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a plot of land which was our brother Elimelech's. The land was still hers. But it needed to be redeemed. Remember Revelation chapter 5. What does it take to redeem the land?
Able and willing.
Yep, has to be able, has to have the price, and they have to be a kinsman. Boaz was a kinsman of Naomi's. He was willing, and he paid the price. He is a perfect example of the Lord Jesus Christ. A perfect example. He took Ruth, she became his wife. He redeemed her. Because he was willing, he was able to pay the price, and he was a kinsman. And the bottom line, if you read the whole thing, Naomi got the land back, and Ruth became the wife of Boaz, and she became not a Moabite, but she became a Jew, and it's a perfect type of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And the important thing, one of the most important things is that this Ruth became one of the few women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Ruth, the Moabitess. There are two places in the Bible where we have the genealogy of Jesus Christ. One is in the Gospel of Luke, and the other one is in the Gospel of Matthew. And in the genealogies, Ruth is mentioned as the mother. She was married to Boaz, but she was mentioned in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, do you know when you and I see Jesus Christ face to face, I don't think we're going to see a white person, a black person. I don't think we're going to see an Indian, a Hebrew. I think every human being is going to see their own self in Jesus Christ. I think the Chinese will see their nationality in him. I think the black person will see their nationality in him. Because in the genealogy of Christ, we see every nationality, every person, every nation. And Ruth the Moabitess is a perfect example of the world in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. She's a perfect example of a person with character. Let's see here. Where do we want to close? In chapter 4, Ruth, verse 17. When you get the opportunity, look up your in your genealogies in chapter 1 of Luke. And you'll see the genealogy. But in chapter 4, verse 17. And the women who were her neighbors gave him a name, saying, "This is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Then, of course, we have the genealogy. But what's important there, there is a son born to Naomi. The genealogical line that Jesus, that God started with Abraham, never ceased. Never did cease. Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. And my mother begot me. And that was one of the biggest mistakes she ever made. I'm kidding. I shouldn't say that when my mother's around, but she gets angry with me, the poor girl. So anyway, that's the book of Ruth. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. When you walk away from God, you always have to pay the price one way or the other. Naomi did, but thank God Ruth got her possessions back, got her nationality back, got everything back that she lost when she walked away from God. Isn't it funny? Sometimes the only way you get back your blessings is by a sinner. Isn't it funny? It really is. Okay, let's have a word of prayer and we'll close. Anybody else have anything they'd like to add? You want to bring another message there, Cassie? You're done now for the day?
All right. I forgot a verse, but it's okay.
We'll have Richie bring Can't Lose Your Salvation next week.
Okay, let's have a word of prayer and we'll close. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word, which is the absolute 100% truth. We thank you, dear Lord, with all the types and all the examples and given your Bible, the just proof that your word is 100% correct, all the examples for us not to follow, and all the examples that we should follow. And we just thank you for your truth. And I personally thank you for those that come to this little church to hear the word, and I thank you for them and bless them. In Christ's name, amen.